ocean in darkness, are starving for life's giving bread. They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. A very pleasant greeting once again to all of the listeners of radio station XEG. This is the Mission Trail broadcast of Guthrie, Oklahoma. And this is Willie Murphy speaking to you. We are indeed happy to be back with you once again as we are on this station each Friday night at 11 o'clock. We also want to tell you that we have been made very happy in recent weeks by the response which we have gotten from those who receive the message. To those who have helped to keep us on the air, we say a very hearty thank you and pray that God's richest blessings may be yours. Now, for our scripture lesson at this time, please take a look at this verse in Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15. I quote, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Now, I am not sure that all of you will remember reading this scripture in the Bible, but I will assure you that this is a direct quotation from the scriptures. So our principal thought for this discussion will be the little foxes that spoil the vines. First, let us look at this thought in the natural before we compare it with the spiritual. Say, for example, it was your desire to plant a vineyard. First, you would cultivate the soil and prepare it for the planting. This being done, you would then go to the nursery and pick out some sturdy, hardy vines of a very choice type of grapes. Then, you would carefully space these vines in your garden and place them in the soil, being careful to water them and give them a good start to grow. Now, imagine the pleasure that you would receive each morning to walk into your garden and see the tender leaves being put forth by these new planted vines, each morning while they were still wet with the dew. Thus, you would feel that they were growing very nicely and were well on the way to the day when you would begin picking the juicy, luscious grapes filled with a flavor which only the handiwork of God can produce. But wait! Think of the disappointment you would receive if you walked into your garden some morning and found there that the leaves were withered away on your lovely grapevines. Not much outward show would be in evidence as to what caused the plants to die, but as you carefully examined the stems down below the base, or rather at the base of the vines, there you would find that the bark had been chewed from the plant. Then you no doubt would ask the question, "What destructive animals have been slipping into my garden at night and destroying my vines?" Or you might ask yourself a question like this, "Could it be that a giraffe or an elephant ate the bark from my vines?" But immediately you would come to the conclusion that this was not true. For if it had been an animal such as this, or a horse, or a cow, they would have destroyed the vine rather than the small portion of the bark. Then you would begin thinking of some smaller animal which did the destruction and ruined your vines. Finally, you would arrive at the conclusion that a small creature such as the fox did this destructive gnawing. Or these little foxes may have chewed the tender cluster of grapes and destroyed them before they came to maturity. But at any rate, whether the enemy was large or small, the grapes were destroyed. Therefore, the fact remains that even as this is true in the natural, much more so is this true in the spiritual. So many times, it is not the big problems of life which causes one to go down in defeat, but it is the simple, small, daily temptations which cause a life of service to God to be destroyed and never come to maturity or bring forth any fruit. Now, in speaking of the small things which cause trouble, let me tell you of a little experience we had not long ago while on a trip and traveling in the state of Arkansas. My good wife Frances had made the comment just previous to this little mishap as we traveled along the road, as she said, "I feel real good about the trip because I believe they're praying for us." This she spoke in reference to those whom we soon hoped to see as they waited for our coming. And certainly it was a good thing that someone was praying, for as we neared the top of a winding hill, the car suddenly made such a noise as if the transmission had fallen out. I pulled it over to the side of the road and soon came to a stop. We thought surely that it would require a wrecker to pull us into town for repairs either before us or the nearest town behind us. The motor was still in good running condition. The tires still had air in them. And in fact, after much investigation and some delay, we found that the transmission was still in good working condition. But friends, would you like to know what happened? It was not a piston thrown through the motor. It was not a gear from which the cogs had been stripped in the transmission. All of these remain in good condition. But let me tell you what happened. One small nut had loosened itself and fallen to the ground, allowing the transmission to thus drop out of alignment and causing the entire car to come to a stop. Fortunately for us, through the courtesy of those big-hearted natives of Arkansas and their helpfulness, the highway behind us was searched for this missing nut. And even though, as unlikely as it seems, that such a small item should be found by the roadside, it was found. With a little ingenuity and the replacing of this missing nut, the car was soon back into operation, and our little family proceeded on our way without the assistance of a wrecker to pull us to town. Now, I say this in order to bring out the spiritual value of the small things of life. It may not be the big problems which will cause one to lose his soul, but if you're not careful, you will find that it is the little foxes that spoil the vines. We should not concern ourselves needlessly with the big problems which lie ahead of us, but we should concern ourselves daily with the small tasks which come to meet us day by day. You will find that it takes courage to face these small, seemingly insignificant daily problems which come to try your patience. But I'm happy to report to you that God has grace to help each one of us successfully overcome all the trials of life. Now listen to this poem entitled "Unforgotten Courage" by Russell H. Douglas. The poem "Columbus" I never quite forgot. This one verse to me always means a lot. Many times when my hope was almost gone, I remembered these words, "Sail on and on." They sailed until the blanched mate said, "Why, now not even God would know, should I and all my men fall dead. Now speak, brave admiral, speak and say." He said, sail on and on." Today I wonder what he was thinking when he bravely said, "Sail on." I know from duty he was not shrinking. Surely his faith had not gone. He had to have his faith in God when all was dark and he alone had courage to say against such odds, I say, sail on, and on. Today when odds against us pile, and hope, it seems, is almost gone, with faith, look up to God and smile, and say these words, sail on and on. Let us spend a moment in prayer. Our Father, take the words of the message today, and may they be a blessing to some precious heart who is bravely fighting the battles of life. Bless each one who is tuned to this broadcast, and may they find the courage and the strength which they need, for we ask it in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Here now is Kathleen with a poem for your encouragement.
Other People's Troubles by Luther A. Merker. Strange how other people's troubles never bother us a bit. They just seem like empty bubbles, while our own distracts our wit. All their worries seem unfounded when our lot we check with theirs. Their enjoyment seems unbounded while we have both grief and cares. But today I had suggestion from some friends their woes to trade. I then saw without a question they have troubles ready-made. So ease up on all your grumbles, wear a smile and do not moan, for the other fellow's troubles are far greater than your own.
Thank you, Kathleen, for the poem. Now here's a song by Manuel and Marie Mitchell, Charlene Mitchell and Cynthia LeCraw, entitled Unworthy.
Unworthy am I of the grace that he gave.
Message has been brought to you by the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. If you would like to have a printed copy of today's message, you may have one free of charge upon your request. Until next Friday night at 11 o'clock, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God bless you richly and a very pleasant good night.